Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today, Thursday, the 8th day of June 2023. I want to welcome everyone. Thank you so very much for joining me today. Of course, HagmanPI.com. That's our website, HagmanPI.com. That is our website. Please bookmark that website. Keep your eye on it. There are a lot of stories, articles, exclusive reports. And there you can find, of course, our programs, both audio and video. It's kind of like the one-stop shop for everything that you need. Okay. Also, our merch, you know, we've got merch, of course, coffee. Oh, coffee is folks, we cannot keep up with the coffee orders. I want to thank you so much for supporting us by in that fashion as well. If you like strong Italian blend style coffees, the hypercaffeinated Detective's Choice is there. In fact, we are shipping it out in plain wrappers. Not because of the embarrassment factor. I think it's plain because we refuse to have certain things done in China. Okay. Yeah, I know. I've got a great show lined up for you today. Do you remember May 24th? What were you doing on May 24th? I want to ask you. If you weren't listening or watching this program, shame. On May 24th, just a couple of weeks ago, Lloyd Brunson was on. And Lloyd Brunson made some news because why? Well, gee, that's a good question. Let me look at my notes. No, I'm kidding. Brunson v. Adams website, okay? The lawsuit website, jeez. Go to LloydBrunson.com or equally okay if you go to HagmanPI.com. Click on the link right down there below. Also, the number seven discovers. All the links pertinent to today's show will be right there for you. But since we last got together with Loy, things have happened. Good things have happened. Things that you wouldn't think should happen, they happened. And look, I've spent 35 years as an investigator in the courtroom, both in criminal and civil matters. And when I heard about this, I kind of had to shake my head a little bit and think, wait a second, what? Really, this, it's not that I didn't believe in the merits of the case. It's I didn't believe in the justice system. I still have my reservations, but this is something incredible. So Lloyd Brunson is joining me here to talk about what's happened. But before we get into what's happened since, I kind of want to do a recap of the lawsuit. What this is all about, and how you not could, not should, but must help. Because, and I'm saying must, because if you want to avoid bloodshed, and you and I, folks, you and I have spoken about this over the last several weeks. If you want to avoid bloodshed, this is one way to do it. And as far as I'm concerned, everything I see on the landscape, this is about the only way to do it, is through this case. And I'm not trying to overhype the case or overhype the situation. And this is not hopium or tinfoil. Oh my gosh, you know, no. This is legitimate, legal maneuvering and outmaneuvering of the deep state. And the architect of this are the Brunson brothers, Loy being, of course, at running point on this. And I'm so glad to have him. But I want to get kind of a recap of the entire case, and then we'll hit the update. Loy Brunson, thanks for joining me again, sir. I know you're a
great.
Busy guy.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, look, I know you're a busy guy. So again, let's get right to it. LloydBrunson.com, again, is all the links will be in the program description box, but tell us about the case and tell us what this is about, and then how you got here, and then from there, the new stuff, because that's cool.
Sure. Sure. Well, some of your followers are probably familiar with the case, my brother's case. This is a separate case. The case that was before the Supreme Court and was denied twice a hearing, it's still on the shelf. They can do something with it. And this case is actually the original case. This is the case that the federal court blocked, unfiled. Actually, on March 31st, 2021, the U.S. Marshal Service was fulfilling an order from the federal court of Utah to serve my summons and complaint on the 388 defendants that include a president, President Biden, Vice President Harris, Mike Pence, and 385 other members of the U.S. House and Senate, or former members. All right. Includes both. And so the next day we received a notice that the court had actually canceled the service, called it back, said that my complaint was deficient and that it was a clerical error. And so when that happened, when we saw that on the docket, we realized that the court had just made a huge mistake. We had been showing them the pleadings and showing them in our pleadings that we had a constitutional right to be there in that court suing who we were suing, both the federal constitution and the state constitution. And so when they did what they did, we knew that they had not only blundered, but they had left their judicial immunity behind. They had crossed over into the administrative side of the court, which created a huge amount of liability for them. Maybe they didn't realize that. And so we took them to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals with a complaint called a writ of mandamus. And it's interesting because the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, with three judges there deciding the outcome of our complaint, basically responded like they hadn't even read it. They basically said, oh, they're not blocking it. They're not canceling it. They are just backlogged. It's like, did you even read the complaint, or is that the best you can do? So we took both courts to state court. We sued two courts. And after we battled there, the federal court decided to unblock my case, refile it to the federal court. And the chief justice of the federal court supervising my case is an Obama appointee. And he ordered the clerk of the court to issue 388 new summonses. And within 48 hours, she had them all issued. And within a short period of time, we had the U.S. attorneys representing Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Mike Pence, and 385 other defendants. And this case is not about the outcome of the election. It's about, in 2020, the certification of the election. These defendants participated in blocking a simple 10-day investigation with a mountain of evidence and claims that there had been interference, either domestic or foreign or both, into our most sacred and vulnerable and important election process. And so because they blocked a simple 10-day investigation, we brought action against them for violating their oath of office. We have six causes of action against them, including treason and fraud, civil conspiracy, accusing them of basically violating their oath of office and not doing what they were supposed to do. Now, the main defense that the U.S. attorneys have presented to us has been immunity. Article 6 of the Constitution is very clear with the words having to do with the oath of office that, quote, they shall be bound by oath to this Constitution. Very clear. So immunity conflicts with that. Giving themselves immunity is a huge violation of the Constitution and of their oath to take a binding oath. You can't take a binding oath and give yourself immunity, or take a binding oath if immunity is already set up. So that's what the lawsuit is about. And so we have this letter campaign. Over 70,000 letters have come in so far supporting the first case, which also supports this one. And every single letter is a vote for the Constitution. It's a vote for a binding oath. It's showing that the America is awakening to this fact that they have a binding oath, that they have skirted, that they've created laws and legislation that violates the Constitution, having to do with giving themselves immunity. And as a matter of fact, there are state statutes. California has a state statute that perjury statute that the wording actually includes politicians and the oath of office. So in California and other states as well, they have this immunity statute where they can't be charged with perjury. But if you participate in a government document or government hearing in a court or other, you are liable for perjury. You're liable for lying. And so to see that these members of Congress that have so much power representing us, and they've taken it upon themselves, basically taken a false oath because they're lying when they take the oath, because in their minds it's not binding. We figured, after watching Mike Pence and others support this blockage of a simple 10-day pause, we knew we had to do something. So my brother is not a lawyer, but he has a lot of legal experience over the years, because he got upset at banks having to do with the subprime mortgage bundling. And so he was affected by that. And so he became pretty great at filing lawsuits and litigating in state court, federal court, and even two petitions successfully docketed in the United States Supreme Court. So he's the process, the legal process guy. Now, I've been working on my constitution studies and books over the last 12 or 14 years. I started discovering that we've been ignoring some major important clauses having to do with socialism. There are clauses in the Constitution that prohibit socialism. There's a clause in the Constitution that defines how we are to interpret the document, and other discoveries that I've made. And so I published books about that, and I have those available on my website. So we use these concepts with his complaint. And then I have another brother who's great at just strategy. And so it was his complaint that made it to the Supreme Court. Well, mine was stuck. Mine was the very first, mine's the original complaint. But because the federal court actually finally made a decision after sitting on it for a year, as of several weeks ago, we were able to decide whether we were going to, now that the court had made a decision, whether we were going to take it to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals in an appeal, or whether we were going to take it to the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, to see if they would allow it to be docketed under their Rule 11. We didn't think they were going to allow that, but we knew we had to give it a shot. So Rule 11 basically of the Supreme Court basically means, if you think that you have a case here that it is of imperative public importance, as you can see on the left of the screen, and the court has to decide this, the court has to actually decide that it is of imperative public importance to justify us not going and working through the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. So we sent it off to them under Rule 11, and they docketed it and filed it. Now, this is pretty significant, because the last time a Rule 11 petition for writ of certiorari was allowed to be filed and docketed was in the 70s by the federal government. So this is the first time since the 70s that a Rule 11 has been allowed to be docketed and filed. The first time in the history of the justices' careers, they've never seen a Rule 11 before.
Man.
And so not only that, this is the first time a pro se litigant, someone representing themselves, has ever successfully had the court docket and file a Rule 11 petition for writ of certiorari. So it's historically significant.
A Rule 11, as you mentioned, but I want to just be clear on this. This is Rule 11 will be granted only upon showing that a case of such imperative public importance as to justify deviation from normal appellate practice to require immediate determination in this court. That's Rule 11, meaning that this is, hey, this is of imperative public importance. And that was decided by the Supreme Court of the United States, right?
Absolutely. Now, we don't know how many justices were involved in that decision. The clerk of the court is the former attorney, chief counsel for the Supreme Court. For 11 years, he was the attorney. So he's the clerk of the court. And we don't know how they come to the decision, but it had to include at least one or two of the justices to make that decision.
So now this is docketed. Okay, so you're, now just let me let me just make sure I'm correct here. Okay, so as of right now, this case, which was on the screen, which is case number 22-1028, folks, if you go to the links in HagmanPI.com under today's episode, or go to LloydBrunson.com, you can get to anywhere you need to go here. But there's a conference date, an actual conference date for June 22nd, 2023. Now, let me ask you a question. Just because there's a conference date, good, bad, or indifferent, does that mean that they have to, or that they are going to put this in conference?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They have 2 days ago, the Supreme Court clerk's office distributed about 45 copies, and we printed some extra copies if people want an exact copy. It's perfect bound that the justices are reviewing. 2 days ago, they were distributed to the justices, several copies each, so that their clerks could have copies as well for them to review before the 22nd. The 22nd, they vote on whether to set a public date for a hearing. But under Rule 11, they can, behind closed doors, actually adjudicate, execute the full complaint that this petition is connected to. But on the 22nd is the day that they will go in, and they will, behind closed doors, no one else is allowed in. I'm not allowed in. The United States Solicitor General is not allowed in. They, by themselves, will take a vote. And 9 votes will be cast. And if 4 of those 9 votes say, yes, we want to set a date for a public hearing, but like the trial, I should call that the trial, because the court refers to this conference as a hearing as well. So they will go in there and decide with at least 4 votes whether to move it forward publicly or not. If they decide no, then we have one more chance to show them more information, and it's called a petition for rehearing. And once we do that, they will have a hold another conference to determine if they didn't determine to have a hearing in the first one. And that is why it's so important for the letter campaign, showing that we, the people, are waking up to the fact that the oath is supposed to be binding. They've all agreed by taking an oath that it would be binding, and that they've given themselves immunity. It's like someone that may be honorable, maybe not totally honorable, but honorable enough to, if they forget that they've signed a contract or forget the contract, this is basically showing them their signature, showing them the contract they have with America, and reminding them of the promise or the commitment that they've made. So this is very important that people become aware of this and remind the justices that the Congress and the justices have a contract called the binding oath to the Constitution.
Okay. Now, folks that listen and watch me on a regular basis, they know I'm not really big on letters or you know, emails and stuff, you know, but hey, because, you know, people don't pay attention to that stuff. But in this case, this is much different. And I say that through my own research and by looking at the response, the responsiveness, maybe that's a better word, of the justices, which is, you're exactly right, which is why I think it's imperative, it's important, everyone that is watching or listening to this broadcast right now, and by the way, share this every place that you can on social media. Tell people about this. Hey, if you don't want to mention me, don't, but make sure this gets Lloyd Brunson's website and the letter campaign gets out to people. Because there is a responsiveness. If the justices get, you know, half a million letters, and there's no reason why that can't happen, my goodness, it'll make, listen to this now, to me, in my mind, after looking at this and going through this, it'll make every January 6th participant, prisoner, political prisoner, that is, their time worthwhile. So please go to LloydBrunson.com, enter your information. Okay, they can send a letter for you, or you can send one for yourself. But also, while you're there, There's a for $2. I mean, you can read it, or a lawyer, you can discuss it, but also support this effort, because otherwise the alternative, in my view, is bloodshed. That, and folks, this, by the way, this is another letter since the first one, or?
This is another letter. This is a different case, but the 70,000 letters that came in on the first one, I believe, is the reason we have a Rule 11 docketed right now. I really believe that.
I do too. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. The federal court blocked my case. They thought that they had just kicked me out of the court, right? But we continued to file pleadings, showing them the constitutional authority behind what I was asking to do. So that was a huge breakthrough, that they allowed me back into the court and issued the summonses when their education has taught them that we're not even to be in that court. We should be going to a claims court, and only after permission from the sergeant in arms. So we've already had some success with this. So I absolutely believe that those 70,000 plus letters is why we have a Rule 11 docketed right now at the Supreme Court. And like you said, if we get a million plus letters, I mean, this is public awareness. They know what's going on with the public, and it's so easy for them to see, gosh, all they're asking for is what the Constitution demands. How can we say no to this? And they need the support of we the people. And as we the people are awakened to this, and we say, hey, we do have a contract. Look, we're awakening to this contract, and we're reminding you of it. You've got to do something now before it's too late.
Okay. And you know what, folks? Look, for the minimum of two, or for $2, they will send the letter for you. My goodness, that's barely more than a stamp, you know, in a piece of paper, okay, in an envelope. The cost, I mean, it's really at cost, you know, in comparison. So now, I would expect, I would hope that just from this program, I mean, make me proud, folks, because Eric, independent of myself, our families, each member of our family, we're going to do this right now, today, with the letter writing campaign. And as a matter of fact, we're going to provide a little bit of additional funding for Mr. Brunson and his efforts, because again, when you look at what happened on the 6th of January, the 6th of January was not merely, but it was to hold the representatives, our representatives, the people who represent us, to account, to take that time period and to take a look at the integrity of the election, which, of course, there was none. And hence, we have political prisoners today and such. So let's not let them stay there in vain. And let's make sure that we prevail in this, because I think we can, especially with the pressure put on the Supreme Court. I would not ordinarily say this. This is one of the few exceptions that I'm all in favor of letter writing campaigns. And I mean this, but so just so people understand, and just to reaffirm it with people, at the epicenter of this, the complaint is that, hey, these representatives didn't, and Pence, as well as Biden and Harris, they did not do their job in validating, in making sure that this was a free, fair, they didn't do their job. They didn't keep to their oath to the Constitution, I guess. Is that a fair way of saying it, or is there more to
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. They were obligated with their oath to the Constitution to certify a true electoral, you know, vote. They were to certify something that was true and accurate. So for them to not investigate and make sure it was, they were certifying something that they really didn't know was real. And so they created a huge security breach. They violated their oath of office, and they need to be removed from office and barred from holding office ever again in the United States. So this would create a huge opportunity for new candidates to come in and fill those vacancies. And then we would have a precedent set where we now have a binding oath that's respected. And so that would change the political climate. You wouldn't see people running for office that normally would, thinking they could do anything they want once they get there. You would find people running for office like those in the military that are willing to lay down their lives for this country and for the Constitution. And so it would change the political climate. It would have a rippling effect right down to the local level.
Man, I'll tell you what. I love the fact that to me, this is a God thing. Okay. I mean, folks, you know, we've talked about this. I've talked about Kerry Lake and such in Arizona, Katie Hobbs. I mean, if she was in this position, she would love to be in a position like this. I think, okay, in my mind, this is kind of where I go sometimes to compare. And if you know that case, okay, so I don't even know if it's really the comparison is not necessarily the same, but it kind of is. There would be a lot of people who would be, I guess we can't afford not to win this. And by winning this is having the Supreme Court take this case up on the merits of the case. And in order to do that, again, the method to do that is by making sure that the members of the Supreme Court know that this is important to you. And how much is this going to cost you? At a minimum, $2. But you know what? Be more of a hero and support Loy and his efforts, because this is a time-consuming thing. This is, I don't know how much time you've invested in this. I can only imagine. But I think we need to support Loy and his efforts and his family and his brothers. Excuse me. Because without this, I don't know what our next option is, but it's not going to be pretty. Any thought? I mean, what have I missed?
No, you're right on the mark. I have visited with Kerry Lake. She's been following this case too, and she eventually she could end up at the U.S. Supreme Court, but it is extremely costly to go through a law firm to have them do it. I mean, it's extremely very expensive and time consuming. It took over 2 years to get this case to the Supreme Court. And we have two of them. So it's taken a good 2 years for both of them to get there. And because my brother basically dedicated all of his time when he's not working to this, to the loss, to the legal kind of actions that he's taken, he's been able to do this. And we felt a lot of miracles. We felt a lot of divine intervention helping us find the way to do what we're doing. We get roadblocks and we're stuck, and then things happen and ideas come to our minds and we're able to get where we are today. So, but I wanted to refer back again to the letters. That's why we're at the Supreme Court right now with the Rule 11, is because of those incredible letters. And like you said, if we get a million plus letters, oh my gosh. Now, President Trump has truthed an article and retruthed it. And so we're reaching out to him. If any of you out there have a connection with him, please ask him if he'll support the letter campaign as well. And as we gain momentum here, wow, what if we had millions of letters? This is not only the justices being encouraged to make the right decision, but we are waking up to the fact that we have a contract. We have a contract, and we shouldn't be waving some kind of a message to them other than like, hey, we have a contract, and you're obligated to it, and we're going to hold you accountable to it. And America has to know that. Thomas Jefferson said that the true corrective for constitutional abuse is education. And what better education is there than discovering a contract that we have with our government that's out of control and showing them that they're accountable and liable for this contract called the binding oath to the Constitution.
Amen to that. What's your gut telling you on this? Because this is like against all odds. Here you are. Here we are together collectively, but you're running point. You've put everything together. You now have the attention of the Supreme Court of the United States to hold the people who didn't do their job accountable and to perhaps change the history of this nation. Where are you mentally on this? I know that this is a God. You believe this is a God thing, and I don't want to sound trite when I say that. When I say it's a God thing, this is really a divine intervention, I believe. But can I ask for your? I don't want to say prediction, but where do you see this going? Do you think? Let's just assume that we get a lot of people active with the letter writing.
I think we're going to. I think we're going to get a hearing. We're going to get a hearing because of the 75,000 letters and the letters that are coming in now. And the more letters that come in, the better chance of that. And then once a hearing date is set, which I think would be after October, because if they deny it on June 22nd, we will file a petition for a hearing, and then we'll have another conference date in October. So I think the most important element of this having to do with God is I think God wants us to wake up to the power he's given us in this document. And we've been completely ignorant to it. We haven't realized that there's a binding oath and that we can enforce that binding oath. And so because we've already had successes showing the federal court that they have an oath to the Constitution and that the Constitution protects my right to bring petition for redress of grievances in any court of the land, including state and federal court. And we've proven that to them. And we believe we've proven it because they've reversed their decision that they had taken before. So there are people that feel like they loved what was happening with the first case. But there are some spiritual impressions that people are having that they believe we're going to get a hearing out of this, a publicly dated hearing. And then the national news is really going to create a battle with the court and with we the people. So I think we're going to get a hearing. I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay, so let's, and again, I don't want to get ahead of my skis here.
And when I say hearing, I mean it's the main hearing, which is like a trial, because the conference is a hearing,
right?
And that is happening on the 22nd.
Which folks, and that's happening in part because of your previous engagement, and thank you for that. So now we have to re-engage to make sure that this goes all the way, shall we say. And if you go to LloydBrunson.com, again, go to HagmanPI.com and click on the link, you can read about the updates, breaking news, June 6, 2023. And you were just on with Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, I believe, talking about this, right?
Yes, this morning, yes.
Okay, well, great. Fantastic. Yeah, I happened to miss it this morning, but I'll go back and get the archive. I don't want to get ahead of my skis here, but do you feel that if everything does fall into place, do you think that we can, how can I put this? Can we see justice, do you think? By this, would this, if you were in the Supreme Court, if you were a judge, would you look at this and say, you know what, this will give everyone kind of a clean way out? When I say clean, I'm non-bloody, if you will, way out.
Well, there are a couple of things they could do. They could actually simply order the U.S. Marshal Service to deliver the list of names of credentials to be canceled. Okay, yep. That would be pretty smooth. The government could also, we would have a new Department of Justice at that point because we'd have a new acting president. Okay, and so with executive order, they could also send broadcast teams and special ops teams to the federal communication offices and also the broadcast stations where they would take over the broadcast for a while. The broadcasting is extremely important. So the news would start in real time explaining what's happened so people would realize that it's a smooth transition. There are people in there that have been in too long, and they're simply being replaced by the states, and there will be special elections, which creates a tremendous amount of opportunity for honest, dedicated to the Constitution kinds of people that we need in office. So a lot of people would just look at that like it's something that happens, you know, every so often. And so it actually could be a smooth transition. Now, the court also has the power, but I wouldn't want them to do this, but they also have the power to actually reverse the federal court's decision, the motion to dismiss decision, which would mean that the immunity is out the door. It's gone. No more immunity. And that would mean that the 388 defendants would have 21 days or something like that to answer the complaint. And as that happens, then discovery begins to happen where they have a legal responsibility and they have to respond to interrogatories, depositions, documents. So that could.
I never gave that a thought.
Yeah, that would be an amazing investigation that would happen. Now, one of the causes of action is civil conspiracy, and a licensed attorney knows that it's not a good idea to represent more than one person that is being accused of conspiracy, right. because of the liability they create. They could be charged with malpractice. They could be sued for malpractice. So the 388 defendants would have to find, really to do it right, they would have to find separate law firms to represent themselves. And each law firm representing them would have to do background checks to make sure that they didn't have any kind of business dealings with any of the other 387 defendants. So that former member of Congress reached out to me, and he believes that's what's going to happen or could happen. And so, but I would really hope that because of the national emergency kind of level that this case is, that they would adjudicate it, maybe adjudicate it behind closed doors. But public opinion is so important. I think it's important that a date is set, that they don't just, you know, deny it on this first try. And if they do deny it this time, I think they will not deny it the second one in October, which would gives America much more time to become aware of this and show the support to the Supreme Court. So I think we've already seen some miracles happen with fighting with the federal court where they reversed their decision and allowed this to move forward. I think we're going to see some big ones happening soon.
Are you getting any traction with, people like Steve Bannon, other political commentators, not on cable necessarily or not in the big networks? Are you getting any traction there?
People have reached out to me, and I've been introduced to Tucker Carlson. So okay. We've been communicating a little bit about this, and he said he wants to learn more about the case. And that was the previous case, but now there's this one happening. Patrick Byrne reached out to me, said, "What can I do? I want to help." So this is so new, and we don't have a team really to reach out to people. So it's just like it takes time. It takes time for people to find out about this and do something about it. And so we have some time here. Hopefully we'll have the summer too to really raise awareness. But as people find out about it, I'm hoping that they won't look at it like, oh, the justices aren't going to do this or that, but look at it like it's an awakening and look at the content. This petition is an expose on the Constitution and the oath of office. And even if the justices weren't doing anything, it's like, hey, America's growing into the position with this knowledge that they can hold their representatives accountable. So it's building an army of knowledge, of truth, so to speak, and of voters where now they can know what is the most important thing in the Constitution to start knowing about, and that is that there is a binding oath required in Article 6, and we need to hold our representatives accountable for it. So this has several facets of really great things happening. So I'm hoping that people that are in a position like yourself will see the incredible power that this is capable of, regardless of the decision from the justices. But the justices have already made a decision in that they've allowed this, some of them at least, have allowed this to be docketed as a Rule 11. So this is moving forward, and maybe it's growing exponentially, and we're just at the lower numbers right now, but it is growing. When my brother's case was denied the first time, CNN did three articles, and MSN did three articles, and Newsweek magazine did four. They followed up on that, and I was excited because now they were talking about this, but they were basically saying a Trump-related Supreme Court case is killed once again. And this is not about the outcome of the election. It's not about whether there was enough evidence to affect the outcome of the election. This was about a security breach. And when you have a security breach, you better darn well investigate it and make sure that it doesn't happen again, or make sure that it's not connected to much deeper, darker things that could really cause a problem in this country. But that was a huge security breach, and they should have investigated. And that's really what the lawsuit is about and the oath of office.
Amen to that. All right. I want to make sure people know exactly what to do. I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, I'm going to stay out of your way. I'm going to ask you to ask the people or tell the people what they need to do and how they can do it, because you've made it very simple. But rather than me explain it, you explain it. I'll stay out of your way. Just go ahead.
Great. Your letter to the Supreme Court that you have an opportunity to do at LloydBrunson.com, and the letter you can do, it can give you instructions. If you don't want to use the internet at all, it'll show you exactly how to get two pieces of paper, two envelopes. We're asking that you send us a copy of your letter so we have evidence, we have proof that the Supreme Court received your letter. And if you want to do a quicker, an easier letter, you can actually write your message to the justices, your letter, combined with a letter that's already there. So you can write your personal letter, you sign your name, it creates a PDF of it, This then goes to a fulfillment house that prints it, folds it, envelopes it, puts individual postage on each envelope, and it is individually, these letters are individually sent to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court then files every single letter, and I'm sure they open it up and check and see what the contents are. They have to for security reasons, but then it is filed there with the Supreme Court. And as that happens, the clerk of the court knows, and he's connected to the justices. Believe me, they know how many letters are coming in. And every single letter is one additional vote for the justices to do the right thing, supporting the Constitution, supporting the oath of office. And they have a wide level of things that they can do having to do with this case. So it's incredibly important, and it's already worked beautifully so far. I really believe that that's why we have this emergency Rule 11 allowed to be docketed. They allowed me to bypass the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, which is unheard of. You can't do that. This is the first Rule 11 petition that is allowed to be docketed since the 70s. So for them to make this decision that it is of, quote, imperative public importance, which they have to decide is of imperative public importance for them to decide to docket it. We have people in the Supreme Court that are supporting the oath of office by allowing that to be docketed. So please, please consider at least going to the website. Look at that video. It's a 5-minute video. It explains the lawsuit, explains the petition, explains what this is all about. Mike Huckabee's producer put that together. It's an amazing video up at the near the top of the of the screen, a square with an arrow on it.
There it
right
is.
There, that. Yeah, explains it, and then just go down and please send a letter and get your friends to send a letter. And if two people, if you got two people to get two people to get two people, exponentially, that would turn into millions. That has the potential of turning you know, into millions of letters. One person has that potential. So become a part of history. You'll be able to tell your grandkids that you participated in restoring our republic through a letter campaign to the Supreme Court. To support the first Rule 11 petition ever filed by a pro se litigant, the first time ever since the 70s, the first Rule 11 that has ever been allowed to be docketed by these current sitting justices of the Supreme Court. So it's an opportunity to be a part of history, and it's an opportunity to actually take a step forward, take action that makes a difference. And
Okay. Now, to those people who say, "Well, wait a second, Doug. Back when you, Mr. Brunson was on the 24th of May, I already did this." What do you say to those people?
Oh, great! Then you know how to do it, and you can encourage your friends and family and others to do the same. Fantastic! You've done it. Thank you very much.
You need to do it
again. Those letters are making a difference already. So
right, because this is a different. You need to do it again.
And people want to know if they can do another letter. Hey, if you have another thought, there's no law that tells you you're limited to one letter, but make it personal. Why, you know, you've got the form letter there, but make it personal. So your message is actually going to the Supreme Court, and it's a permanent part of history. So,
and the number on your website, if you go to LloydBrunson.com, that number right now, as of the 6th, 5,500 plus letters.
That's in addition to the 70,000 happened in the first one. So we've only had a short amount of time to get it to that.
Okay, and you're going to keep that up to date so we can keep an eye on that. Because my thing is, starting today and then through the weekend, folks, I want to see that number into the triple digits just because of this program. Okay. Please do this. Now, I'm just curious, or this is a question I got asked the last time. I'm going to ask you this time. Is there any way to know? Can somebody from the public search a database to find out if let's say you or your neighbor sent a letter, or this is all off the record, right? Non-public.
Right now, I don't know. That's a good question. The Supreme Court has filed at least one amicus brief where attorneys are basically filing their letter of support and adding more information to the case. And that's quite a process, too. So as far as I don't know, that's a good question. I have to reach out and call the clerk of the court and see if they have some kind of a record. That's a great idea. You know, the Supreme Court phone number, go to supremecourt.gov, find a phone number to call. And ask them if there's a way to know how many letters are supporting this petition.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the basis of the one question that I got was, why I don't want my name out there. And my response was, well, you damn well should have your name out there and be proud that your name is out there on you know, this letter writing campaign, because you're standing up for the rule of law and for the truth. That was the basis. But yeah, you know, that'd be kind of interesting. Let me know when you have a chance if that if something like that does exist. No one should be ashamed of this. Go ahead.
Also, I'd like to mention that this is a non-political petition. Republicans are being sued too.
Yes.
And Democrats and a socialist. So no one has been negative to us, to our faces or to phone calls or anything like that. And there's plenty of opportunity to be negative about this. But if people want to just look at the complaint, they'll be shocked to see both sides of the aisles are being accused of not, you know, not allowing themselves to be bound by a binding oath. And so it's a great opportunity for anyone of any political persuasion to vote basically in favor of honest representation. And that's what it is. They, you know, many Democrats were waving the Constitution, say, I'm obligated to this. Well, how obligated are you? You know, let's make sure. Let's really take your words literally and support this petition to enforce the binding oath that's demanded by the Constitution.
Man, I'll tell you what. If there's anything that could possibly change history, the history of this nation, this is something. I'm not blowing smoke up anyone's skirt, folks. This is something I truly believe that could be the make the difference. And that man right there, and his brothers, wow, you've done it. I mean, you're doing it. Even if you got hit by a bus today, God, you know, God forbid, but you've made some history, and it's phenomenal.
We've gotten the ball over the goal line. Now we need the people to be aware of it and make sure that it's scored properly.
Wow, man.
So, awareness. Yeah. America wakes up to this, and wow, oh my gosh, we have a new America, because America is we the people, right? A government by the people, for the people, of the people. And if we wake up to just the simple concept that, hey, we now see the oath is supposed to be binding, and you guys have given yourselves immunity. You've given yourselves immunity with perjury statutes. This has got to stop. Just that alone is like the Achilles heel. It is the Achilles heel.
Exactly. I love this, man. I really do. Would you have any problem if we played here with the in the last 5 minutes of the program, if we played that video from your website? Would you have
Oh, please do. Please okay. do. Yeah, play it.
Because I really think that's important. As a matter of fact, Eric the Tech, can we do that? All right. Eric the Tech's going to need a few minutes to get it set up, and he'll let me know. But because I want people to see that video. That's a powerful, impactful video. People need to see that. So we're going to include it in this broadcast he's setting up right now. Oh, it's ready? Okay. We're going to have a few minutes on the other side of that. I just want you to hang. Can you hang with me?
Of course, yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right. So here it is. This is a video from LloydBrunson.com. Here it is.
People around the world have had enough. Corruption in governments, lies in the media, personal interest over the people's interest. Is there any chance that we, the people, can restore our republic?
It's amazing that the Constitution is set up in such a way for the people to go to the most powerful branch of government, and that is the Supreme Court of the United States.
I heard of this new name, Lloyd Brunson, and I listened to Lloyd.
I mean, gosh, this is crazy what's happening in America. Here are 100 members of Congress that are claiming with evidence that there is a concern that needs to be investigated.
On behalf of petitioners of Lloyd Brunson and We the People, it's a grassroots organization involving citizens across the country.
But I was like, no, that can't be true. That can't be true.
Lloyd Brunson's strategy works this way. After the 2020 election, hundreds of citizens and elected lawmakers stepped forward with evidence of misconduct and malfeasance and criminal behavior during that election. Well, Brunson's argument is that Congress was constitutionally required to investigate this evidence due to their oaths of office. in which every member swears to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
And mm-hmm. so we're not suing about the outcome of the election. We're not suing to put someone in office. We're suing to remove the security breach. And the security breach is every single member of Congress that refused to do their job and defend this country.
Are you kidding me? And I'm literally going on the Supreme Court website and I downloaded the case that he was referring to. Holy cow, this is like everything. Of all the anxiety that we all have, all the prayers that have gone towards, you know, asking for God's intervention somehow, some way, you know, bring his vengeance. Because these people, these evil people are overthrowing our country.
We're part of We the People, right? And so when you petition for redress of grievances, you don't petition to the Congress. You don't petition to the president. You petition through the courts. And then the final court of the land, the Supreme Court of the United States, is the final say on that petition for redress of grievances. And that's what we've been able to do.
In 1939, Jimmy Stewart played an all-American patriot, Mr. Smith.
I can't help feeling that there's been a big mistake somehow.
Mr. Smith, fighting for we the people and our Constitution.
I don't think I've ever been so thrilled in my whole life. And that Lincoln Memorial. Gee, wait a second. And Mr. Lincoln, there he is. He's just looking right straight at you as you come up those steps. Just sitting there like he was waiting for somebody to come along.
The swearing in of the Senate that designates the order of business. The gentleman will raise his right hand. Do you solemnly swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that you will bear true faith?
Article 6 of the Constitution requires every one of them that have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution to be bound by that oath. And to be bound by that oath, you are responsible. You are liable.
So help you God.
I do.
Senator, you can talk all you want.
It's amazing that the Constitution is set up in such a way for the people to go to the most powerful branch of government, and that is the Supreme Court of the United States, to correct the errors and the problems that have happened.
Basically, this would be the Supreme Court voting to just completely purge the U.S. government and reform the U.S. government.
Never before have we seen the Supreme Court have as much power as they have right now because of the set of circumstances. They're literally can go behind closed doors and do what they need to do and do what's right.
We produce this video in hope to inspire and empower you and showing you how the power can be restored back to the people. But today, you can leave a legacy for generations to come that you were part of restoring our constitutional republic. Thousands of letters are being mailed to the United States Supreme Court in support of this Brunson case. Please mail your letters today and even invite your children to write letters and be a part of this historic moment. Share this with friends and family. Invite organizations, companies, one voice standing up, speaking out, and taking action for we the people and our constitutional republic, proving that the pen is mightier than the sword.
Wanted to let that play out so the website could be seen. And pretty much everyone you showed in there, Pete Santelli, of course, I consider a friend, very, very capable. I had the same reaction. Pete, you know, I'll tell you what, but now, you know, it's all here. And I love the part too. I watched that video again today, and I wrote some notes there in my office, but I remember writing down, have your children write a letter to. I thought, wow, how impactful would that be as well? You know, if they could articulate and send it in, because that to me Well, that would be, in my view, kind of like the icing on the cake. But well done, video. Very well done. And really encapsulates your efforts and what's at stake here.
A volunteer put that together. I didn't even know he was doing it.
Really?
He's a producer for Mike Huckabee, and he's working on some other projects too. So
that's fantastic.
The people have come and given their support in many different ways. It's amazing. And thank you for what you're doing. It's incredible. It's super important.
Well, folks, okay, I'm going to end this right here by saying, please, right now, as we end the program, go from this broadcast right to LloydBrunson.com. Dig deep, support that man, support the efforts, and make sure the letters go out. Make sure you tell your friends. Post this on your social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, Truth Social, Gab. But make sure this goes out. And I will be doing my part. Everyone here will be doing our part. And I'm asking that you do your part. Loy Brunson, please come back and give us another update when applicable, if you don't
absolutely
mind.
I'd love to. Absolutely. Thank you for everything you're doing.
Well, no, I'll tell you what. In my book, very few people I consider heroes, okay? And I use that word very, very infrequently. You're a hero to me, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank you. All right. I feel the same about you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. All right. Loy Brunson, we're going to cut you loose. Thank you so very much. Folks, please do this. Again, it is so critically important that this gets done. You know, I've talked about this. I've wrestled with this. And you know from the programs that we've done this week alone with Randy Taylor. He came and we've had off-air discussions. Look, we are preparing in numerous ways, but one way out, and I think this could very well be the way, is if this proceeds in the manner that Mr. Brunson described. That's what I believe. And I believe that I don't think he could have got to where he's at right now. And I'm surprised because, like Pete Santilli, when I was on InfoWars, I think Pete and I were on together for a segment, but nonetheless, he was like, no, you know, no, no. But yes, this can change things. And you know what? However it works out, be on the right side of history, be on the proper side of history. I ask that you do that. And by the way, tomorrow, I'm gonna end the week tomorrow with Randy Taylor, and we are going to be talking about finishing talking about what we've been talking about off air. Okay, in other words, what we can do in addition to, this is one thing that anyone can do. Obviously, the letter. LloydBrunson.com, but he's working on some things. I'm working on some things independently and together. We're working on some things, and we've gotten a lot of response. And I just want to say this: Americans are not going to take this crap anymore. We are going to hold accountable the people who work for us, the people who we ostensibly voted into office or occupy the office. They work for us. We are going to be demanding that they take action. You know, the southern border, there is none, right? The cartels have operational control over the southern border. I'm going to tell you this. That's got to change. And if bottom line here is if it's going to change, at the same time, Mr. Brunson's case is being presented. And no, it's not too late, because this is not about the election itself. This is about the holding people to account for their oath of office. We can do more than one thing at a time. And that's exactly what we're doing. okay? America has been captured, but we can recapture it. And that's exactly what we're doing. Folks, thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks for your belief and trust in us. And please, again, please, I ask you, take part of the letter writing campaign, LloydBrunson.com, HagmanPI.com, in the program description box. Have a good day.